You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three is underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's featured the return of a king. Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. Tony Cincotta as well. We're hanging out one more hour. Fantasy best friends forever. Corey Parson, JC. Matt Modica, come back in with us.
Yeah, got Matty Mo. Matt Modica be back in here. Fantasy best friends forever coming up in an hour. We're down to our third string quarterback, so I'll be hosting the best friends forever today. I'm the third string quarterback. Nando's the starter. Jake's the backup. I'm the third string.
So you're trying to Willie Beeman in this?
Yeah, well, I'm down at the bottom of the depth chart. So you know what I mean.
Mark Sanchez.
I'm running the scout team today.
Yeah.
No, I'm not Mark Sanchez. Well, you know, we'll talk some FSTA draft. You know what I mean. We'll look at some NFBC ADPs. Got a little Atlanta Falcons trivia. You know what I'm saying.
The A-town.
Atlanta Falcons trivia. We're getting too close to the start of the show to give out any more of the questions. But we already know who the
Sounds
Falcons
like a fun show. Yeah.
All time leading rusher is. And we know who their all-time leading receiver is. That one should be easy.
I don't think it'd be easy unless you're a Falcons fan.
Yeah, whatever. Who's the most famous coach in Atlanta Falcon history?
Dan Reeves.
I would say Jerry Glanville.
I'd say Jerry Glanville as well.
Yeah, I would.
You guys are right.
Say Jerry Glanville. He had that crazy hat.
Yeah, Reeves was the one that took him to the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, right? Glanville,
maybe not for the right reasons.
Jerry Glanville was a wild dude.
He was. Him and Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Buddy Ryan punched Kevin Gilbride?
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. I remember when Kevin Gilbride was his last season as the Giants offensive coordinator. Somebody called Mike Francesa and was like, "Freaking Kevin Gilbride, I want to punch him in the face just like Buddy Ryan did." Yeah, the Giants fans really turned on Kevin Gilbride down the stretch. Is he even in the NFL right now, Kevin Gilbride?
No, he retired.
He called it quits, huh?
He retired.
Yeah, his game plans were looking very suspect.
I always find it funny, the story of Jerry Glanville, because after he was the Falcons coach, after he got fired, he went to broadcasting, right?
He
worked for Fox, inside the NFL, exactly. And then after that, he eventually a decade later, he gets back into coaching.
Yeah.
This is Jerry Glanville, right?
Yeah, he's coaching a high school team.
Defensive coordinator of the Hawaii, whatever.
How the mighty have fallen. But Jerry Glanville was that type of guy, though. You know what I mean? He was that type of character. The cowboy hat and stuff like that. Perfect coach for the Atlanta Falcons at the time. We already know so many things about the New England Patriots and their greatness and their dynasty and stuff like that. But who ever really talks about the Atlanta Falcons?
Except the Atlanta Falcons have been to the Super Bowl once.
Yeah, they've been to the Super Bowl one
lost.
Time. Yeah.
That was it, you know?
But they beat maybe the greatest NFC team in the last 25 years.
Sure. Yeah,
the Minnesota Vikings team. Yeah. Yeah. They beat that team. You got to give them props for that.
By the way,
maybe the greatest NFC team to lose, to not make it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is actually a fantastic paragraph here.
Who wrote it?
Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
When Atlanta Falcons general manager Kent Harrock selected Brett Favre in the second round of the 1991 draft, Glanville did not approve of the pick because of Favre's personal issues with alcohol and partying lifestyle. He said it would take a plane crash for him to put Favre in the game. Glanville also was known to place $100 bets with Favre and others on whether or not Favre could throw a football into the third deck of stadiums before games. Glanville claimed the trade in the offseason in 1992 was a wake-up call for Favre, who was known for even being late to the team picture during his rookie year. Favre only threw four passes during his one season with the Falcons, then was traded to Green Bay for a first round pick. Went on to play 19 seasons, starting every game.
Wow, who was that first round pick? That should have been one of the trivia questions.
Still can be.
I know, I'll have to look that up though.
Oh, would you like to do it right now for you?
We'll write it down. Like, do it, you know, so I can use it later.
Yeah, well, I won't say.
Do it on the sly?
Yeah, on the sly. Jerry Glanville told. They don't make coaches like that no more.
No, that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. And that's the problem with replaying baseball. I don't get to know any Earl Weavers or Billy Martins anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to argue with the video. You're going to argue with the TV.
Yeah.
Like, that's what someone should do, right? If you want to be one of the managers, What you should do is you should bring like an old school TV and put it in the dugout, and every time the replays are wrong, fire the TV out in the field.
Yeah. Managers are not personalities anymore.
Oh, that stinks. You know what
Lupinella.
I'm saying?
The first, you know, yeah, the manager's personality is gone. The circus is gone. America just isn't what we used to be.
I wouldn't say that personalities are gone. I think it's just different personalities, right? Like Joe Maddon has a personality. You don't like it, but he's a personality.
Not compared to the managers that Tony was bringing up.
Well, it's different personalities. It's all it is. It's a different game. You know, it's different time.
He's not a personality like Earl Weaver or Billy Martin.
No, he is a personality. It's just a different personality.
What kind of personality is Joe Maddon? He's a great manager.
Different. Joe Maddon is the personality of almost like Phil Jackson, like Zen, right? Like he's a Zen-like guy that I'm smarter than you personality. Like Tony talks about it all the time. Like that's his personality. Yeah. So he doesn't yell and hoot and holler and bitch like Billy Martin or Earl Weaver.
Well, what's fun about him, you know, if you're not a Cubs fan, though?
I mean... Well, first of all, I can tell you
the fact that he'll put players anywhere, I think, is pretty fun.
But
he's not entertaining.
Oh, I had one of his former players tell me that the guy more or less saved his life. Yeah. Straight up.
I a great person, great manager, but just like, he's not an entertaining personality like some of these older time managers.
Well, and that's just you. You know, yeah. I personally, I'm entertained by Joe Maddon.
I appreciate him for other things. I'm just saying he's not. He doesn't yell.
He doesn't yell and scream.
Exactly.
That's okay. You don't have to yell and scream.
Have you picked
one? But who does yell and scream now out of a dugout?
Sussman.
Yes, sir.
No, you're the yelling screamer.
I understand.
I'm trying to think, though.
Greg, that's opposite to track, though, right?
Absolutely.
I found that in life.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I married a smoker.
If you was had to pick somebody to manage your organization, Scott, who would it be?
I think Matt
David Wright,
top of the list.
David Wright, that's a good one.
Would be your manager, David Wright?
No, if I could ever get this guy out of the broadcast booth to manage, I think he would be spectacular. Keith Hernandez.
Okay,
yeah.
I would not want Keith Hernandez managing my baseball team.
I certainly would. The guy was like an assistant manager on the field when he played.
And then why didn't he ever become a manager?
What's that? He didn't want to. He didn't want to deal with the player. Well,
correct.
I'm saying if I had it my way.
So you're right. You make Keith Hernandez your manager, who doesn't give a crap enough about the players, as you just said. He wouldn't make a very good manager.
Well, Keith doesn't want to do it. I would want him to do it just because of his tremendous knowledge of the game
would
and
you
the strategy.
Would you want more of a player's manager or more of like a hardcore stickler type manager to run your organization?
More of a player's manager. I've never felt like those Dallas Green guys, you know, like.
What about you, Tone?
I think in today's baseball, it has to be a player's manager.
Yeah.
The problem is that they're not running the organization. The players are. So
correct.
You can't be that guy anymore.
Correct. Totally agree with that, Tony. Totally agree with that.
I know the answer to that trivia question now too.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
How'd you find it?
Huh? Somebody sent it to me in a message.
Well, I don't see. I have this. I don't know which one of those guys it is. That's my problem.
Hold on one second. Talking to the mic. Hold on.
They highlighted the two for you. Those are the two first round picks Atlanta had in 1992. It's the second one.
Yep.
Okay.
Second
first round pick they had. All right. I would not have gone that because I don't know who this person is.
I don't know who he is either.
Oh, and Clippy's page just said he's known for being the player traded for Brett Favre.
There you go. That's his claim to fame right there. They have another. One of the other questions is very similar to that one.
All right.
Yeah. Uh huh. But I think the players would be easier to determine. So.
This is very funny. In a 2016 interview, that was last year, this person claimed to be at peace with his NFL career being labeled as a bust. I didn't go into the game to be a bust on purpose. Some things just work out. They don't work out, you know?
The first guy.
That's just the way it was. No. Now, it's no big deal to me at this point. I've outgrown it.
The first guy they took for that year, though,
Bob
turned
Whitfield.
Out to be one of their best linemen.
Yeah, he's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they, I don't know. They had, you know, you just look at them as... You know, this is their time in the spotlight again, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's interesting, and I kind of thought about it, like all these teams that we've had, either franchises or cities that haven't won championships, like Cleveland, Chicago, etc. So in that kind of scope, you know, Atlanta makes
sense.
Would
it be a huge upset for the Falcons to beat the Patriots?
Not huge, but
I don't think so either.
How many sports championships has Atlanta won? One. You see, the Braves won.
Yeah, that's
the
it.
The Hawks have never won.
Yep.
The Falcons have never won. So, like, Cleveland and Chicago, could this be Atlanta's time?
And they won that in the Game 7, right?
Yeah.
They won. That was a Game 7. Yeah. So they almost didn't have
anything. I mean, anything. The Braves were so successful, but they won one World Series.
Exactly. They were the Buffalo Bills.
How about this?
The Bills never won.
This guy was traded for Brett Favre. It was Brett Favre's college teammate.
Stop playing.
They both went to Southern Miss.
How about that, Corey?
The Bills never won it, and they did not dominate their league as long as the Braves did dominate theirs.
Did the Braves? Yeah, the Braves did dominate. Well, I don't know. I think it's about to even, though, Scott.
The Braves were, like, for well more than a decade, like, dominating, like, the NL East and the National League.
Well, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't they go to 5 NFC Championship games?
5?
Did they go to in a row?
No.
Andy Reid.
I think the Bills are the only team to, like, do that, like, in a row.
I had to Google that. I think the Eagles went on a crazy NFC Championship run, too, though.
Maybe back but in now the 40s.
They did it recently. Andy Reid, they went on a crazy NFC Championship run.
How many in a row?
They went to four,
I think.
They went to four in a row.
I think they went to four
they
in a row.
Did?
Yes.
They went to four NFC Championship.
Then they went to one
row.
Super Bowl, went to four in a row. They lost to Carolina, they lost to Tampa Bay, and they lost to Chicago, and they beat one team and they got there, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I thought they did. They lost to Tampa Bay.
They lost to Tampa Bay, yeah.
So who did they beat to go?
The year they played.
They beat Atlanta.
That's right.
They beat Atlanta. How about that?
Michael Vick.
It all comes together
Michael
now.
Vick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there you go. There's the first four NFC Championship games in a row.
Wow.
There you go.
And it's funny because I only remember the Bills. Like, you're so trained to remember the Bills when you think of Super Bowl futility and winning conference championship games.
Well, this is the story of Andy Reid, right?
Yeah.
I guess people don't talk about it because they actually won one.
The Eagles.
Conference championship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They certainly did.
Let's get back into the FSTA draft here with Steve Gardner. And he picked a closer in the 8th round, Tony. 2 rounds after Aldis Chapman. 3 rounds after Kenley Jansen. He drafted the other guy that was signed this offseason. That was Mark Melancon. 8th round, first closer. What do you think?
I think it's a reliable closer. Got a job, got paid the money. I think it's a good pick.
I like it. Look
at that. It's not one of the elite guys, but get him a couple rounds or later. Absolutely, that's a great pick.
I like it. I'm very happy with that pick at that spot. It's a nice job there by Gardner. I like Gardner's team, like I told you.
It's coming together nicely.
I love Verlander. He's
coming off the best season of his career. Now he has a job. That is his gig. Coming to solidify that. He's a safe option.
I like that.
At the back end of the bullpen, so...
Yeah, and you know what? People can shit on me all they want for this.
Jesus. Okay? For the Buffalo Bills!
No, I'm talking about Melancon here.
Right.
You know, like the closer's mentality doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
All right, groan all you want. I really don't care. You know, I've talked to enough people that played the game that I really believe this exists. And, you know, from an intangibles perspective, Melancon's a great pick. Just keep him in the National League because he didn't handle the American. This is a guy with a definite closer mentality. Great pick.
Greg.
So how did he have the closer mentality going to New York and Boston?
Let me tell you.
And they developed it in Pittsburgh?
I'm a closer mentality guy.
Oh, come on.
I buy into the closer mentality.
So how did he not have it in New York?
I do. Wait a minute.
He didn't have it in New York and Boston?
This is a legitimate question. How do you get it in the National League and not in the American League?
How did he go from not having the closer mentality in New York and Boston to having it in Pittsburgh?
I'd like to ask a former player that. I don't want to give you the answer and throw something out of my ass here.
I'm not saying that I know.
It's an intangible thing. So you guys are coming in with like a logical sort of perspective.
I gave you a logical question, though.
A lot of times these intangible things can't be defined by logic.
I don't know if Melancon has it. I don't know enough about the player, but I do buy into the fact that some people have a closer mentality.
Now. I know he has it now. He may have lost that mojo when he went to the American League, but ever since he's come back to the National,
you can lose the closer mentality.
What I'm saying is I don't know if going to the American League messed with his head or something like that.
Do you inherit it like at birth, or is it something you learn along
the
way?
You can mock it all you want, but you know what?
I'm asking a legitimate question.
Jonathan Papelbon
was a mentality of a 12-year-old. You're getting information from
that doesn't mean it's the guy's one of the most successful closers of all time.
It doesn't mean he knows anything about baseball. It means he's a gifted athletic individual.
You just don't go out there and your body, like, you turn it on and off with a switch. You mentally play the game as well, of course. You know, just because he doesn't know how to handle himself maybe off the field or with his teammates.
Basically a catcher tells you to throw a fastball, a curveball, or a slider.
I don't believe it's that simple. I disagree with you. I think it's simplifying it. I think, you know, I've spoken to other relief pitchers besides them, and, you know, there's a mentality to, can you handle the pressure? I remember seeing a guy like Guillermo Moreno in the
90s. You took it from a closer that was successful, right? Did you go and ask anyone that wasn't? Were you not successful because you didn't have the closer mentality?
Yes.
Who was it?
Yes.
And what did? Who was it? The only player I know, I only know one that got it in all of my life that admitted that he didn't have the capabilities to be a closer.
You know, I watched Guillermo Moreno in the 90s, and I remember everybody saying, this guy's got it, this guy's got it. And I looked at him, the guy was very mentally shaky. He would always melt down in the ninth. They put him into closer job, he blew it.
Let me ask you, what about your boy?
LaTroy Hawkins, very earlier in his career.
He's the only one.
Never had that mentality. He told me that he had to basically change the way he thought.
He's the only one that I've ever seen come out and physically that failed and said he didn't have what it took.
What about your boy in Queens right now?
Who's that, Familia?
Yeah.
He's got the closer mentality.
He's got the closer mentality.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
See, my thing with closer mentality.
I remember talking about one of his teammates. Does he have I remember talking to one of his teammates and saying, you know, like, you know, they talked about how these guys play in, like, the Dominican and the Caribbean, and they play in front of these large, intense crowds, and how much pressure it is, and then they come to the States, and they're ready to handle the closer thing because they've pitched overseas.
I just don't understand, right? Like, so I go back to the Yankees, right? So Mariano Rivera gets hurt, and David Roberts.
That's what I was going to bring up about Papelbon. He had a lot of conversations with Rivera about the closer mentality early in his career, and he said Rivera gave him a lot of good tips about how to handle the closer spot.
So Mariano Rivera's a closer. He gets hurt, and David Robertson comes in, and all of a sudden, David Robertson didn't have the closer mentality, but Rafael Soriano went, who sucked every other innings at the ninth inning, right?
And that's crazy.
So then, all of a sudden, Robertson only can pitch the eighth inning because he didn't have the closer mentality. Mariano retires. All of a sudden, David Robertson has the closer mentality now.
What, is it different because, okay, you have to do it now? See, I think that's a part of the closer mentality. I have to do it. I got to be the last guy to go out there. It's like a defensive back. You're one-on-one man island. And I talk to pitchers about that.
I got to
shut it down.
You've been with me. You have to have that mentality
where you can forget about it. You know what I mean? You know what? I didn't get it done that time. I got to go back out there again. I think it's something, too, the closer mentality.
You know what? And I get a lot of flack on this. It's cool. And it's always usually respectful and stuff
revenge
like that.
Games and
but
stuff
here,
like
here's
that,
the thing. Us as an industry as a whole, we define everything by numbers and logic.
Intangibles play a role.
Intangibles go push against everything. Like, something like this cannot be defined. And we can't sabermetrically define it, so people are going to push back against it.
I'm a closer mentality guy. I buy into it. Everybody else is silent.
It's not everybody. It's just Tony and I, because I don't.
It's just getting three outs in the ninth inning of a game.
I think it's simplifying.
So how do I just feel like you can pick so often, right? Like these random pitchers, right? Like, who was the dude that made the last out for the Cubs? Who did that in the World Series? Game 7. Who was it again?
I don't know.
It was the guy that came over, Mike Montgomery.
Yeah.
Is Mike Montgomery the closer mentality?
Mike
you say?
Montgomery was a closer in the past.
There you go.
For the Royals.
Absolutely not.
Yes, he was.
No, he was not.
Am I thinking the same Mike Montgomery?
Yeah, Mike Montgomery was on the Royals, but he was never a closer on the Royals.
Yeah. I thought he got a chance to close at some point.
When?
Hold on, let me look.
Sure. Maybe, no, he was a starter for the Royals. And pitch for Seattle.
He was an early draft pick.
He was an early draft pick for sure. With Danny Duffy, the two of them were early draft picks.
Yeah, I'm thinking of somebody else.
No problem.
There's a different Mike Montgomery that I'm thinking about.
Okay, so Mike Montgomery comes in Game 7 of the World Series, life on the line for the freaking Cubs. And he got the job done. Does he have the closure mentality now? Because
you're talking about one out.
But
that's a big out.
Over a full season?
It's a big out.
I can't tell you what he has over a full season.
Consistently go out there time and time
again. Yeah.
With you have to go out there and win the game. You don't know what the situation can be. That's a tough spot to be in. It takes a certain mentality to continue. You could throw it away every night.
Scotty, would you say Genmar Gomez has the closer mentality?
Genmar Gomez, who did the job this past year
for Philadelphia.
I think he's. I think you know, talking to his manager,
right?
That's one of the reasons he felt he put him in the spot.
Well, he was only the fifth choice for that spot,
right? But what he said, you know, they didn't see it. But when they finally got it, he didn't have the stuff. But they felt like he was mentally tough to handle that at the end of the game.
But they didn't see that until,
because they didn't put him in there because of the stuff. He didn't have the stuff,
right?
Yeah,
and they seen him.
It was a surprise to them,
right?
Yeah,
and that's because.
They just can't walk down the clubhouse row and say, okay, he's got it, he doesn't.
And that's,
you know?
So I agree with that. Yeah. And that's kind of my point, because there's a crap load of people that probably could have the closer's mentality. If they are fifth choice.
And there's a lot of people that can't.
Is there a lot of people that can't, or they're just like, maybe they're not that good?
I think there's guys that in the ninth inning, like...
Who is the pitcher?
Here's a good example.
Please.
Here's a good example.
Please.
There are some closers that when they're not in a save situation, they start putting runners on base.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, bless you.
Thank you. Sure.
Because they're so used to being in that pressure situation. Okay.
Who is a pitcher that excels in the eighth inning permanently, but won't excel in the ninth?
I don't have a current example, but I'll go back to LaTroy Hawkins.
LaTroy Hawkins has closed games in his career.
No, earlier in his career, he did not have that mentality.
But then he developed the closer mentality, right?
I talked to him about it. He said, you know,
he wasn't that kind of guy
earlier in his career.
Have you ever asked Papelbon about it?
What? Yeah.
Him, Papelbon says definitely.
I just spoke about it, yeah.
So when you go to do the road extras at the park and you ask the closers about the closer mentality, percentage-wise, how many of them say, you know what, you're right?
Two of every three guys.
So 75%.
Yes, but the ones who sometimes disagree with me are usually the ones transitioning from, like, middle relief to the closer.
Okay.
I just want to know who is... I think a couple of guys here, outside of LaTroy Hawkins, who excel in the seventh or eighth but cannot pitch the ninth.
I don't have a current one, but Guillermo Mota, when he was pitching, was definitely a good example of that.
Greg, you're not buying it at all. You think it comes down to stuff.
And it doesn't have to be blowaway stuff.
Yeah.
It has to just do it that you got it.
But you don't think there's a certain mentality into the game being in your hands every night?
I think you have to put that aside.
Okay.
Personally.
I think a lot of guys don't do that.
I mean...
Tone?
I think it's the craziest thing in the world. If Scott's right, though, every team should get a team psychiatrist.
You know what? Some teams do have a mental skills coach now.
Yeah, they do. I know, but they should specialize.
I'll give you an example of a guy who couldn't handle it in the ninth inning and definitely had the stuff. Bobby Parnell.
It was mental with Bobby Parnell?
Bobby Parnell sucks.
I just don't think he was that type of guy.
Bobby Parnell
I'm saying when he pitched. The Mets tried to give him the closer job, and he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but he's not even major league caliber pitcher. He's been in baseball since.
That guy was thrown. Yes, that guy was thrown 100.
Right, but he was their closer when he was healthy.
I'm saying he blew it a lot.
Well, lots of guys blow it a lot. Did he blow it because he didn't succeed?
He had the stuff. He didn't have the.
But
mentality.
Did he blow it because he was not a good pitcher?
He was throwing like 100 miles an hour.
There's a lot of guys that are 100 miles an hour.
Scott, to be honest, this guy in his last healthy season, he actually pitched really well in the closer role, so he never lost it. He just lost his health.
Yeah,
they weren't happy with him in the closer role. There were certain
games. 22 saves. In a 2.16 ERA. How do you get better than that?
There were certain games, big spots, where he didn't handle it and they wanted to replace him.
I think that might be poor coaching, that.
I agree.
Mental skills coach. I wonder if I can get that gig. You know what I mean?
You want to be a mental skills coach?
You think you could help
people out?
Yeah, I'm just going to help talk to, you know, the guys, when you know, the players and stuff like that.
And then the conversation is going to come up.
All right. So if you're heading out to the mound in the ninth inning,
yeah,
you know, what do you tell the guy with like two runners?
So I say, Mr. Chapman, this is a big spot.
You don't have to tell Aroldis Chapman this.
This is not going to define you.
Tell Tom Watson of the Pirates.
Tom Watson.
Yeah.
Mr. Watson, this is a big spot. But this does not define your life. It does not define your career.
You think he doesn't know this?
This is the same thing. This is pitching, throwing the baseball that you've been doing for the last 25 years. Just go out there, take your time, just act like it's you and the catcher. And they would hire me.
I don't know. I've seen some things around you around the studio that you do. The dugout, like, between innings, Tom Watson, blah, blah, blah.
This is one of my favorite conversations we have, so we'll continue doing it next year on Roto Experts. As you know, Michael Florio is a Mets fan. Like yourself, Scotty. Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry.
He is.
I always get tickled by that. I'm not trying to start nothing. I'm not trying to start
saying,
nothing.
I'm bringing up for story. Anyway, so Florio's a Mets fan, and he actually had a question for you, Scotty.
Yeah.
Oh. Talk, Florio.
Jesus, Florio. Okay. I set you up. Sorry,
I thought Grant was going to read the question that I wrote to him.
He had a question.
That's dramatic. That was dramatic pause there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my question to Greg was, I wrote to him that I like Jerry's Familia. I think he does have, if there is such thing as closer mentality, which I don't believe in, I think he has it. But how do you explain then that he's blown the, if you believe he has closer mentality, he has blown the last three playoff games that he has been in?
I don't think having a closer mentality means you perfectly execute every time. Mm. I don't think he could get to that level of where he did with all those saves and everything if he didn't have the mentality.
Oh, come on.
Well, you know,
I can't set what he set some sort of Mets record for saves.
Greg, it's
I don't
a
think without that mentality.
It's a difference between the postseason and the regular season too, though.
Who had the saves beforehand? Who had the record beforehand?
I forget what record he set.
He set it for Mets team record. He had 51 saves.
Who had who was
probably Franco.
That I will.
Was it Franco?
Probably John Franco.
Can I ask Scotty another one? Scotty, please. Would you say Goose Gossage had the closer mentality?
Yeah. I remember watching him as a young boy, yeah.
He blew 112. He blew 112 saves.
Yeah.
He only saved 310 in his career. That's a 25% failure.
Two things there.
Not absolutely.
Number one, you're not going to – just because you have this mentality doesn't – I never said you're going to succeed every single time. Second one –
oh, so you can have – 25% of the time, that's
a
failure.
Hold on, hold on. But how many opportunities does Gossage have? He's considered one of the greatest relievers of all time. You're going to blow a lot when you get that many opportunities.
But 25%, like, what's a good percentage? Like, I find that number alarming. Like, I look at Trevor Hoffman, right?
Right.
Trevor Hoffman. Mm-hmm. He only blew 76 in his career, and he had 601 saves.
Oh, boy.
So,
right.
Those are good numbers.
So did he have the closer mentality and Goose Gossage didn't? Like, how did he come into it?
No, but I just said, with the Familia thing, that doesn't guarantee you're going to do it every time out.
I think
he blew 25% of his saves.
Yeah, but how many did he save, though?
I think part of...
310, I just pulled
it out
for you.
I said to you, that's a lot. He's considered one of the greatest ever.
112's a lot. 112 and keeping the job is amazing to me.
Scotty.
I think part of it is the closer mentality is being able to blow saves
and come
right back out there.
Yeah.
Scotty,
like a defensive back.
And Corey. Would you say that Armando Benitez has the closer mentality?
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
No.
Right. Okay.
But that's what
I was hoping you would say.
But he went out there, though. He went out there.
You said, how can a guy get to the most saves, Mets record for saves in a season if he doesn't have the closer mentality?
Armando Benitez was miscast.
Hold on. This is what you said one second ago. How can you get to the most saves in Mets single season for a Met if you don't have the closer mentality? Right. And so you said, not putting words in your mouth.
Right.
Who's tied with Jairus Familia?
What's that?
Who is tied with Jairus Familia?
Benitez.
How can you do that if you don't have the closer mentality?
Yeah, but it's like you guys are going straight numbers here. And again, this is where we clash.
You're going just selective out of like out
hold
of
on,
nowhere.
Let me finish like, here,
you've never,
okay? Let me
you've
finish
never
here.
Spoken to Armando Benitez because he doesn't speak English. So you wouldn't know what
he's saying. Not true.
So,
not true. Because he previously, he wasn't there when I had credentials. Armando Benitez, you're looking at overall numbers. Armando Benitez, when he was every single big save situation in his career, would blow it.
Seems unlikely.
Regular season and postseason.
Seems like Jairus Familia.
Can't you say that
he
about
was
Familia?
Miscast.
But so did Familia. Familia blew his last three playoff games.
I know, but he also has postseason saves too.
So does Benitez.
I felt like Benitez was, he was blowing big saves way more of the time than Familia ever did.
But you feel like that, but you're just, you're picking and choosing. I just getting the numbers. Thing.
Can you? It comes
down
to this.
That's the problem I have.
Can you do a job that you're not that good at and like fail 25% of the times and still have the mental makeup to keep going out there and taking the baseball? See what I'm saying? That's a closer mentality.
But don't you have to be successful to have a mentality?
That's
that
what I said right at the top, like, though. That doesn't always mean that you're going to be successful at it.
But if you are successful at it, does that, like, so?
Do you say, you know what? I can't do it. I'm tired of losing these games for y'all. I can't take the ball no more. Put me in seventh inning. Put me in eighth inning. I don't want to be the guy the team blames.
Right. Here's where the mistake is.
When did we see that happen, ever?
Here's where the mistake is, and maybe the mistake that I'm making is. Okay. You talk about the level of closer. Maybe that's why I erred in saying with Benitez and Gostich, okay? Benitez successfully closed a lot of games. But when the Mets needed him in a big moment, I'm looking at too much as a fan, he would melt down. It's sure. Like he's not on the level of like a Hoffman or whatever, but I was wrong to say that he didn't have the mentality because he successfully closed a lot of regular season games. So I was wrong there.
Okay.
I was wrong there.
Okay.
Gossage, you could say what you want about Tony's statement. He blew 25%.
Right.
He has the mentality, but that doesn't mean maybe that he's elite when you look at it in a Benitez sort of scope.
Sure.
I don't think you can do the job successfully over any period of time if you don't have that mentality.
Okay. So, let me. So, just again, clarify what you're saying. So, guys like Gossage,
I got emotional when I thought about Benitez,
okay.
And I shouldn't have let that crept in.
Okay. So Benitez did have the mentality, in your opinion, right?
He did.
Okay.
But you know, he's obviously was he's you know he
we're not
wasn't
saying
one
he's Mariano Rivera,
clothes.
Right? We're not saying he's Mariano Rivera here, right?
I don't think you can succeed in the position if you don't have that mental edge or that mental mindset.
Okay.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is.
It's unique to that position.
It's,
and that situation.
So this is where we kind of disagree again. Because I'll go back to Cleveland right this year.
Right.
So they have two guys you're saying that have the mentality in Cody Allen and Andrew Miller. Right. If it's so unique, they have two of them.
Well, Miller's done the job before.
So is Cody Allen.
Yeah, I'm saying so.
Right. So
you can say yes.
So there are
pitchers who can navigate successfully, obviously between middle relief and closer.
Right. I mean, absolutely. Right. Like.
Yeah, that's why Miller's so outstanding is he can have that mentality whether it's the sixth or the ninth, and there are pitchers who take it like that. You know, they put a lot of pressure on themselves whether it's the sixth or the ninth, but there are other pitchers who just like they can't handle the ninth inning.
Who?
I gave Guillermo Moda as my best example.
You give.
How do you know he can't? Did he like break down? Like, I can't do it. Take me out of the game. Did he do that? Or he was crying?
He was throwing like 9,800 at one point for the Dodgers. Everybody's like, we got to make this guy a closer. But like the guy would constantly like get into beefs with hitters. He would get pissed off at the umpires and stuff like that.
But when did
he would melt down on the mound.
Right.
And I was like, this guy's not going to be a closer. And everybody was like, the late 90s are like, I'm drafting Guillermo Moda as a closer. You're wrong. I said, I'm not drafting a guy. And he lost the job.
May I ask, when did, and I don't know the answer to this question, so maybe you do. When did Guillermo Moda have a legitimate opportunity to be the closer?
I think it was with the Dodgers at one
point. With the Dodgers. Yeah. So we're talking like, he was only with the Dodgers in 02 and 03. Two years. He came back to the Dodgers in 09. But he was only with the Dodgers in 02 and 03. I'll look into the stats during the break and try to figure out what happened there and see who the closer was. But yeah.
Right.
Rod Chandler has three keys to being a closer, good closer. I know you're a Rod Chandler guy. Right, Sky? Right.
Two guys from Queens, you know what I'm saying?
Rod Chandler, you I know you believe everything he has to say.
Oh, and then, wait a minute. You said you believe in everything he had to say. That's not that's false.
Well, doesn't you
I'm a Rod Chandler. I support Ron Chandler. Yeah. Doesn't mean I agree with everything that Ron Chandler says.
Okay, I know you respect it in a major way, Ron Chandler. Okay. Your three keys to being a good closer, according to Ron Chandler.
Right.
Number one, talent.
Right.
Number two, opportunity.
Yes. Two, yeah.
Three, guile.
Guile, stuff. Closing mentality.
Clearly third behind opportunity and talent.
Yeah, you got to be able to be considered for the job.
I wasn't in the exercise of ranking them, necessarily.
But it is a
got to have the talent first and foremost. And you got to get the opportunity. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here. I'll come back. I'll look into Guillermo Moto's stats, and we'll eventually try to get back into Steve Gardner.
Armando Benitez, Guillermo Moto.
I have a bunch of guys on Gardner's team that I wanted to ask about. Like Scotty mentioned, Adam Duvall. Like he drafted Hanley Ramirez. Later on, you could draft Adam Duvall. He did it, right? Like, I do want to get in back into Gardner's team, whether it's today or tomorrow, because there's a lot here, a lot of good stuff here. So stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. All right, so in 2000... Yes.
I had one correction for you.
Okay.
The guile and equating that to closest mentality, I don't really think that fits the definition. The definition of guile is sly or cunning intelligence. I don't think Jonathan Papelbon has ever, with the word intelligence, ever associated that.
Yeah, just Jonathan Papelbon, not really... But he has closing mentality. You give up those home runs like he in those big spots like he used to.
You
back
just say
in the
no.
Day.
Yeah. Look, Jonathan Papelbon's done a lot of questionable things, but can you say he doesn't have baseball intelligence?
No, he's easy to dislike. Jonathan Papelbon,
right? But can you say he doesn't have baseball intelligence?
Here's my thing. I don't know one way or the other, but here's what I'll tell you. I think it is the biggest, most overrated thing that you think you could get insight from guys that play the sport. And the biggest instance I have is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the most gifted athlete ever to put on a basketball court. And he's run up two franchises into the ground. So I would never take his basketball IQ for anything.
Well, that's Michael Jordan.
You don't think he's getting better, Tony?
That
he's getting better, but this is his 10th year of trying.
That's true,
well,
too.
Well, you know, you
right?
Should,
look at the
so
Wizards.
You're saying
look at Charlotte.
We shouldn't listen to anything that people who played sports tell us?
No, you can't lump everybody into that. What I'm saying is that it's not a given.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. But like, you talk to Cliff Floyd, and he tells you certain things.
Yeah.
Jonathan has told me certain things, and I kind of like know what to cherry pick and what makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know guys I can talk to will give me stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I got Rusty Ryle on this channel, because I felt like he wasn't a name, but, like, he's so insightful
about
the game itself.
Does Rusty believe that in a closer mentality?
I'd have to ask him that again.
Okay.
I think his answer was more like, well, you know, I never pitched, so I really can't say.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to speak for those guys.
So Guillermo Mota, I looked into this.
Tell us.
So I do want to clarify. So with the Dodgers, he was basically Eric Gagne's setup man, right? Like, because Eric Gagne obviously had a million saves in a row and didn't really get an opportunity to close with them. So I don't want to say Dodgers aren't a great example. When he went to the Marlins, he was given an opportunity. He was named a closer because Armando Benitez got hurt. He entered one game, got the save. Then Benitez comes back, and that was it. Named the closer to begin 2005, did not get a save opportunity until the end of April, which he converted. He got a second save the next day, and then he went to the DL. Replaced his closer, somebody else took over. Todd Jones, that's correct.
Yeah.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't because he stunk in any way, because he didn't have the mentality. It was because he got hurt, right? It's, you know, no big deal. Eventually went over to the Mets, got suspended for steroids.
Mm.
Actually got suspended steroids a couple times. Had some bad games with the Mets. As you said with Benitez, guys, is it fair to say your passion for your fanhood is
no,
corrupting your judgment?
I had this argument back in 2005 when I was at ESPN.
Okay.
And everybody was like, this guy is going to become a dominant closer.
Yeah.
And I just said, I don't see it.
And that's fine. Maybe you're right because he wasn't good
enough.
I don't know if that's about this head. Maybe he just wasn't good enough.
I watched the guy pitch, and he would melt down often.
So maybe he wasn't good enough is what I'm saying. I agree.
He was not mentally strong enough for me to trust him as a closer.
Maybe he wasn't mentally strong enough to be a pitcher.
He was very successful in the eighth inning.
He was
a very successful setup guy.
He was relatively successful throughout his career, no matter where he pitched. He didn't get many opportunities in the ninth inning.
But when he went to L.A. and went to Florida, everybody was projecting him as to be this dominant closer.
He didn't get the opportunities. Maybe because he didn't have that mentality.
He didn't get the opportunities. There were other guys in there. Not because he failed
when
I
came
day.
Back, they let Todd Jones keep the job.
Because Todd Jones was pitching great. Not because Moto stunk. He converted his first two saves that season. Had nothing to do with how he was pitching. Todd Jones was pitching really well, so he kept the job. That's all.
I just remember throughout his career people saying Moto's going to become a closer. I'm going to draft him.
Sure.
And it never happened.
Right.
Yeah.
But is that because he didn't have the mentality or because he wasn't good enough?
I think the stuff was good enough. I don't think any team felt comfortable with him in that role.
We'll never know. With Guillermo Mota, unless we talk to him, or we talk to the map, or we talk to Jack.
To Tony's point, though, I don't know if he speaks.
We need, you know, what we need to get. We need to bring a sports psychologist on the show and talk about this.
Oh, we could just bring a former pitcher on the show.
No, but it's, I want to talk to somebody
or a pitching coach. I'm going to be going out to the park soon. I'll ask a pitching coach.
I want to talk to somebody in the field of studying athletes and their mentality. And to ask them a couple of questions, and close the mentality being one of those things.
But if they didn't play the game, can they really say that?
Well, if you're an expert and professional studying the mind of a professional athlete, if you never stood
on the mound in the ninth inning, can you speak to that?
But isn't it easier to say that there's a closer mentality, right? Like, isn't it easier for say a pitcher like, yeah, I got the mentality?
Well, that's like saying, Scott, you know what you just said, Scott? You would have to have schizophrenia to be able to diagnose it.
I don't understand your analogy.
You said you would have that a guy with a medical degree can't tell you if there's a closer mentality unless he's pitched. So in that same instance, you would have to say, well, if a guy didn't have schizophrenia, how could he tell you had schizophrenia?
Yeah, I think we should get.
Because you'd be able to diagnose it from certain
signs. We should look into bringing somebody on the program to talk about. You know,
we need a medical expert.
Yeah, we need somebody that can sit down that's.
And Scott, you can pick him apart.
Yeah, you can take him to test.
Yeah.
We can ask him about cornerbacks being on that island, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can ask him stuff like that. Yeah. What else
don't
can we
you
ask
have
him?
A certain have to have a certain mentality to play cornerback?
I think
NFL?
So too. Come on now. How do you think guys feel one-on-one lined up in the fourth quarter against Odell Beckham? That's got to be fearful.
But here's the problem with that. You could have the greatest mentality in the world. If you're not physically gifted, you're not going to be able to cover them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh, I can go out there and say
I think we're talking about the guys who are physically gifted enough to do it.
Yeah, I think
if they're physically gifted enough to do it, then they're going to do it.
But that's where I disagree.
Who? Give me an example.
I can't give you an example.
Of course you can, because it doesn't exist.
I'm saying, though, but I'm quite sure it's been guys that have the talent and have the stuff, but when you put them in the ninth inning, it's like, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
I think they're
and
out
you don't
there.
Remember those guys because they get shuttled out of the door pretty quickly.
But how can I not? Modiga, you're here. You're a baseball guy. Do you know an example?
Yeah, well, he's not on a microphone right
I know
now.
He's not on a microphone. I'm just looking at
I think I forget who the failed closers are. I'm not saying they don't exist. We just, you know, none jumps to mind because, you know, they melt down and get shoved out of the.
John Rocker had closing mentality?
John Rocker was a.
But he closed games.
He was mental. Yeah. But he did have the closer mentality.
He does have the
obviously
closer mentality.
Successful.
Yeah.
Because the closer mentality.
You got
to
have a little thing with you.
You look at
close.
Guys like Rocker and Papelbon, you figure they're like, okay, they have the closer mentality, but they're also nut jobs, too.
Yeah, you have to be kind of a nut job.
Yeah.
Nut job.
But, like, so, okay, a guy like Sean Kelly, right? Like, Sean Kelly pitched the seventh and eighth his entire career. Got an opportunity last year, pitched the ninth. He's successful at it. So now Sean Kelly has a closer mentality all of a sudden?
Yeah, he was able to make the successful transition.
Because the opportunity presented itself.
And like Chandler said, that's part of it.
But
sometimes guys don't always take advantage of the opportunity.
I just want to know the guys that when given a true opportunity to pitch the ninth inning, failed because they don't have a closer mentality. That's what I want to know.
We got to get a baseball history.
Not because they're not good enough.
I forget who a lot of those guys are because they'd have become unimportant and you end up cutting them.
Ken Giles is the closer mentality now. Right, so Modiga is saying Ken Giles. Ken Giles went from not having the closer mentality, from having it in Philly to not having it in Houston. Now he has it again.
I think with Ken Giles, there's something deeper than the closer mentality.
Or it's like a mechanical flaw they figured out.
Like, other things factor into that.
Right.
So, you know, it's like you're talking like you either have it or you don't. Like Tony said, you inherit it or you don't. It's like, it's something, you know, that you, yeah, I think it's a position you have to adapt to. Can some guys adapt to that? Some can, a lot can, and there are some that can't.
Take a break, wrap up the show, come up next. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hanging out with you. Coming up next, Fantasy Best Friends Forever, Corey Parson with Jake Seeley and Matt Modica. They will bring you up till 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Tony, before we wrap up the show, I do... Yes,
I'm sorry. I did come up with one name, but I'd have to research it more. Before. I just don't want to throw this out of my butt here, but...
But I'm about to.
No, I don't want to throw this out of my butt. I want to research more before I make the case. But I'll have to research why Drew Storen has like never gotten back into the closer role.
But for an extended period of time, he did.
Right. But
and how long took his job away?
He lost the job and he hasn't regained it since.
Tony, what say you about Drew Storen?
He's a poodle owner. Probably doesn't have the closer mentality.
He did post him and his dog last week on Twitter. I know what you're talking about. You posted a picture of him and his poodle. Said, "Is this a tough guy you want closing games?"
Well, that's what people talk about. I don't know what Drew Storen. You know, a lot of people look at him as two. Here's what I look at: two teams replaced him and didn't want him as a closer. So, does he have the stuff?
Like, has the stuff? Does he have the mental capacity to handle it, especially after that big playoff meltdown?
You look at it, teams try to replace him. I just question whether he has the ability to close. He had a very short lease in both opportunities. They tried to upgrade the closers. Hell, the Toronto Blue Jays gave a guy that basically had a 2-month trial the year before and went with a job with him over Storen.
Right. You know, I mean, you have to talk to somebody inside the team. Maybe he felt mentally couldn't handle it. I kind of got that indication when I was around the Nationals a few years ago that, you know, they weren't quite sold on him.
The final couple minutes here, Tony, I wanted to go over a FanDuel team. I want to get back. We'll get back to Gardner's team tomorrow. Also, we have poll questions tomorrow. We have Mike Lyon tomorrow. So we have a fun show tomorrow. A bunch of players on Gardner's team I do want to ask about, so we'll do that tomorrow. I want to go over your FanDuel team, Tony. I was reading more up later on.
Shorts late tonight, right?
Shorts late, four games tonight. Lineup locks 8 o'clock tonight. The program's on at 6, but lineups do not lock
that's
till
a
8.
Problem.
Yeah, that's an issue for sure. So with that being said, what are we doing at point guard tonight?
You know, I think at point guard, you have like Rubio tonight. If you want to save a little money and go, you can go there. I think Jeff Teague is interest, but he's a little too much money for me. I think Jameer Nelson gives you an opportunity to save your money as well in tonight's action. So I like those two point guards as far as anyone. If you want to include Russell Westbrook. Like I said earlier, I'm not going to use him tonight. I'm going to try to get away with it, and it's going to scare the crap out of me.
So it's so funny. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Tony. We started the show. I can't. I think we're going to fade Westbrook, and I'm just like, I can't. I'm too scared to do that, basically. I'm just too scared. So.
You're not going to roll out multiple lineups and use him in one, Tony?
If you put multiple lineups out there, four games, so I don't play a lot of games on a game like tonight. So
I like to
If I did, though, I would definitely put one out there. Eric Bledsoe's by far the best point guard out there tonight to go outside of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
But I would probably save a little money because I'm trying to get all these Denver guys in, and I'd probably go with one of those cheaper options.
Okay, so there you go. Right now, currently my point guards are Russell Westbrook and Jameer Nelson, for the record. At shooting guard, what do you like tonight, Tom?
Shooting guard tonight, Devin Booker's been absolutely on fire. Mm-hmm. I think you go with both shooting guards in this game, with Devin Booker and Gary Harris.
I think I like Devin Booker. I like Gary Harris as well. But with Darren Williams out, with Dirk Nowitzki out, I think it's hard to go away from Seth Curry.
Yeah, he's 4,500 on draft.
4,500 draft. He's 41 on FanDuel.
Yeah,
if they're definitely both out, absolutely. I agree with you. I'll tell you what, I watched that game last night. They must hate him, Dirk and Harrison Barnes, because he doesn't stop shooting.
Yeah, I'm sure not. Small forward tonight. This is where I'm saving a little bit of money. What about you, Tony?
Small forward tonight, and tonight's small forward action. I think Danilo Gallinari is going to be the highest owned. Actually will not use him, and okay. I'll go TJ Warren on the other side of that game. He's a guy that gets you some steals and gets you some assists.
Do you like Warren more than PJ Tucker?
No, actually, no. I like Tucker first. I didn't have my my list.
You do the Warren. Yeah, I go PJ Tucker ahead of him. Save $1,400.
Right. Yeah. You are saving a little money. You're saving $500 over on FanDuel. Yeah. And the one.
Yeah,
so I
like PJ Tucker over him.
Me too. I have PJ Tucker in there. And the one guy I also have in a small forward right now, Tony, is the guy you've been talking about the last week. Shabazz Muhammad, I think, is a good play tonight off the bench.
That's a great play. And nobody plays him off the bench. Like, you can get him for a decent price. And you take him off the bench, and he's getting right around 30 minutes a game.
Oh, you've been talking about him.
On DraftKings.
You've been talking about him, Tony, so I got him in my lineup tonight. Yeah. The power forward position, sir.
The power forward position is going to be interesting tonight, depending on if you wanted to go cheap and you want to go outside that Denver game, and depending on the site you play at, Nikolai Jokic would be the guy if he's power forward eligible. If he's center eligible there, Miles Turner would be the other guy.
There you go. For more, DFS Lineup Lock comes your way from 6 to 7 Eastern tonight. For Scott Engel, Corey Parson, and Tony Sincata, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. We will see you right back here tomorrow for the Roto Experts in the morning, 7 a.m. Have a good one, everybody.